Well, good morning. Did you guys have a good week? Who had a great week? Who had a bad week? A few hands went up. How many had a so-so week? Okay. Well, we're going to pray that you have a great week this coming week. How's that? And I believe God wants you to have a good week. He wants you to enjoy in life. And it's a wonderful thing to be a creation of God, isn't it? To know Him as our Savior. Today, we are going to speak shortly because we are partaking in the Lord's Supper. So today, we've got about 15 minutes for a short lesson, then about 10 minutes for the Lord's Supper. But with that being said, I want to jump right into it. And I want to begin by the last verse. We're going to do verses 7 through 16. We hope we'll do our very best. But this is the last verse, and we're going to talk about the body of Christ today, the church. The Apostle Paul used the metaphor, the church and the body, from whom the whole body, the church, is fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, it's not football season, it's not basketball season, it's baseball season. And I know many of you are Yankee fans, some are Red Sox fans, some of you aren't fans, you don't watch it at all. But I think most people understand baseball. There are 9 players on the field, and there's a group of players that are in the dugout, and there's another group of players that are out in the bullpen, usually behind one of the outfield fences. And they don't sit in the dugout, and they're not on the field all at one time, obviously. But here's what's important. Every single person, whether they're starting the game, whether in the bullpen, it doesn't make any difference, or on the bench, every single person is valuable. Because you never know who's going to come off the bench and get a base hit or maybe even a home run and win the game. You never know that pitcher who doesn't pitch that often. He's not a starting pitcher. He's a relief pitcher. That he might come in on that particular day and get the last 3 outs or the last 6 outs or even maybe the last 9 outs and shut down the other team and be the winning pitcher. In the same way, every single person that is part of the church of God is valuable. You're valuable. You're needed. You're wanted to help build the church of God. Probably should have had Dr. Andrew up here instead of me this morning. And we see this human skeleton here. This is sometimes how I feel and look in the morning. You probably can identify with that. But here we have this skeletal system. And not being a medical doctor, I don't know how this all works, but I do know it works. And all of these bones and all of these tendons and ligaments and muscles and all of it, if there are things that are out of place, it hurts. It doesn't go quite as well. How many of you have ever sprained an ankle? Yeah, a lot of people. Bad, isn't it? I've never actually broken a bone. Who's broken a bone? What is this, the Broken Bone Baptist Church? A lot of broken bones here this morning. Every one of us that are of any age have probably had some kind of issue, a surgery, a broken bone, sprained ankle, whatever. But here's what we know. If there's a part of this body that is not functioning well, let's be honest, most of the body doesn't function well. We know that, don't we? And you know what? As we look at this skeletal system on the screen, and if you go to the doctor, which I'm sure most of you probably do, when you go into that little patient room, many times, it isn't my doctor, they have this picture like this that are in the office. And the church of Jesus Christ doesn't work as well when we have broken bones. Spiritually, when we have sprained ankles, it doesn't function as well. There's a hurt in the body of Christ. And so this section that we're looking at this morning briefly talks about the importance of the church as a whole. Think of Cross Point, because you're sitting in our auditorium today. Think of Cross Point working together, healing broken bones, healing broken ankles, dealing with people that are hurting, that are challenged, mending wounds that we might be able to function better together as a church. Here's some fascinating things about the body. You contain trillions of bacteria in your body right now. Now, some of you are thinking, Jerry, that's the grossest thing I've ever heard. But we need good bacteria, which helps keep us healthy. Your eye is your fastest muscle. Think about this. I've got this in my notes. A blink typically can last 100 to 150 milliseconds. It's pretty quick, isn't it? That's very, very quick. This is why we say when something happens in a blink of an eye, happens quickly, that's where we get that phrase, happened in a blink of an eye. When we contract our eyes, it is less than 1/100th of a second. That's amazing, isn't it? Well, 100,000 miles of blood vessels. That incorporates all other things with not only the blood vessels. Only 2% of humans have green eyes. Who has green eyes? Wow, 1, 2, 3, about 4, 5, 6 people. You're unique. Only 2% of people in the whole world. And in fact, I didn't know this, but people are born basically with blue and brown eyes, and it takes like 3, 6, 9 months to develop green eyes. I learned more on biology this week than I did theology, quite honestly. So if you have green eyes, you're unique. Your skin is your largest organ. Some people didn't know skin was an organ. I remembered that from biology class. It's about 15% of your body weight is your skin. When we breathe, we favor one nostril. We're not 100% know why, but here's what I can tell you, what one doctor said. We naturally tend to alternate from one nostril, then the other, as this helps keep the air we breathe moist so as not to irritate our lungs. But our bodies give one nostril a break while the other is active. All right, we'll take their word for it. As we continue to go, yawning. We don't know why we yawn, like some of you are doing right now, right? You're yawning because you're bored, you're tired, you stayed up too late, the message is too boring, you're looking at your clock, when are we going to get out of here? We yawn, don't we? And this is kind of interesting because we don't really fully know why people yawn. Possibly to get more oxygen in, others think to regulate temperature, but we're not really 100%. But our body is very unique. It's complex, very complex. And our eyes remain, for the most part, the same size our entire lives. That's why those babies have those big blue eyes. And if you see them 30 years later, they'll have the same blue eyes. Maybe just a slight bigger, but for the most part, our eyes are the same. So I think these will really help you when you get on Jeopardy. And if these come up, it'll really help you when you're on the game show. Now, let's go through this together. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Every single person, when they receive Christ as their personal Savior, they receive a spiritual gift. The spiritual gifts are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12. Now, we're not going to read those today. This isn't the lesson today. But you can go to those chapters and you can read the spiritual gifts. And if you're interested today on finding out what your spiritual gift is, Pastor Adam, after church, will be back in the connection corner. Say, hey, Pastor Adam, I want to find that out. And we will get you a spiritual gift inventory. And you can know the spiritual gift that God has given you. But every single one of us has a gift. Now, there's a couple of things interesting about gifts. They're not sought because they're given by God. Gifts should not go unused. We all have different gifts. We are all unique individuals. And God gives some people many, many gifts. But everybody has at least one gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this next section is taken out of the book of Psalms, chapter 68, verse number 18. And Paul is referring to that chapter because the chapter deals with a king, David, who has captured the Jebusites, the city of Jerusalem. And along with that, he has captives. He has spoils from the captives. And he leads the men
that were on his army that had been captive by this other army free. So he leads the captives back to freedom. So he captives them himself, which is interesting the way it's worded. In the same way, spiritually, we are captives to sin. And God comes and he leads us that are captives or prisoners, whatever word you want to use, we are stuck in this world in sin. And God leads us to freedom. And by him leading us to freedom, now get the wording here, we become captive to Jesus. Now, verses 9 and 10 is a parenthetical that is sliced in here for us to understand a little bit more about this. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. Now, you're looking at me and thinking, I have no idea what they're talking about. Well, it could incorporate three things individually or all things together. Let me give them to you really quick. First of all, Jesus Christ came to earth. He descended. And he came to earth because we needed a Savior. And when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we then ascend into heaven once we die. And when Jesus came to do that, we know he lived a life without sin, he was crucified, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. We all agree with that. And so remember, he descended, gives his life for us, he ascends, and spiritually we ascend. Second of all, it could represent just his death, burial, and resurrection. So Jesus Christ descended, he gives his life for the world, and then after the resurrection, 40 days after that, he ascends back up into heaven. There's a third definition that many theologians, conservative theologians, kind of lean in this area, but it's an idea, it possibly is the case, many think it's the case, but you have to look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, where it talks about the sons of men that are angels. Many believe those are fallen angels it's referring to. And they were fallen angels that came to earth, that were kicked out of heaven, and they impregnated the daughters of men. Those two terms are right there in Genesis 6. And from that, Nephilim, or giants, came to be born. And the world then fell into sin beyond our imagination. And therefore, God had to destroy the world. So we see that Jesus dies, and then he goes down into Hades or hell, and there he proclaims victory to those fallen demons. We see that in Jude verse 6, also 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. You can read those verses and you can do some more study on it yourself. That is not our whole message today, but I wanted to give you the three interpretations of verses 9 and 10. But the main part is this, that Jesus comes, and because we're captive, he has the authority to get us out of that captivity, to give us eternal life. Therefore, he has the power and authority to give us gifts. As we move on, and he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So here we see that Paul talks about the gifts to the leaders of the church. We all have individual gifts. We already mentioned that in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Romans chapter 12. But here we have the gifts of those that are leading the church. The word apostle has two definitions. There is a narrow definition of the word apostle, and that means simply dealing with the 12 and also Paul. In order to be an original apostle, one of the 12, we'll just call it the 12 apostles, you had to have been with Christ, you had to have seen his resurrection, and you also had to minister through being able to do miracles, what we call signs and wonders. In the broadest sense of the term apostle, which means ambassador, it means a sent one, people could be apostles today. And many apostles today, we would look at them as missionaries. Even though they wouldn't take the title apostle, they would be missionaries. Some of the apostles today look over large groups of pastors as another example. So we have the narrow sense and we have the broad sense. The same way with prophets, those that foretell and those that proclaim or forthclaim the gospel of Christ. We have evangelists. Evangelists, oftentimes referred to, again, as missionaries, people that go out and share the gospel of Christ. We have one coming this coming Sunday, Wendell Calder, who is an evangelist. And then Paul says we have pastors and teachers, and oftentimes those are clumped together, pastor slash teacher. And so the pastors are the ones that are the shepherds. And as they shepherd the flock, they teach the flock the word of God. And so we have these particular gifts. Crosspoint, by and large, believes that apostles and prophets were for the early church during the apostolic age, and the evangelists, pastors, and the teachers are for today. Now, why do we need pastors and teachers? Why do we need evangelists? Why do we need missionaries? Why do we need people that have been trained and have studied the Word of God to teach us? It's very simple. There are three reasons. Notice what their job is. We are to equip the saints. We just talked about Pastor Steve coming on staff. Pastor Adam introduced him. Why is that? Because he wants to equip. He wants to help the saints. The saints are Christians, those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, to grow in their faith, to become stronger in their faith, to know the Bible more, to draw closer to God. Why? So they can do the work, notice, of the church. They can serve the church. The more we know about God, the more we get closer to God, the more that we can serve the Lord as far as the whole body is concerned. And then that leads to a building up of the body of Christ or the church. So notice the pattern as these people teach the Bible. Equip. And then obviously, service and to build up. That is the goal of those that teach the Bible. That's our goal here at Crosspoint, that everybody recognizes their spiritual gift, that they serve the Lord, that they are built up spiritually, that the church might be stronger. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, a strong man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, we are no longer, notice, to be children. We're talking spiritually, not physically, obviously. Tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. This is why we all need to be equipped. This is why we all need to be serving the Lord somehow in some way. This is why we all need to continue to build up ourselves as part of the body so we don't get dragged away and taught doctrine that is not true and be thrown off course. And that happens, sadly, to many, many people. I want you to see this. If I can get there. There it is. That's the goal. That's our goal. Is to be strong. I shared this last couple of services. When Arnold Schwarzenegger was bodybuilding, I think he was Mr. Olympiad, I think 8 times. You can Google it, but I think it was 8 times. But the Guinness Book of World Records said that at that time, he was the most fit person on the planet. Imagine that, the most fit person on the planet. The governor from California. Remember the governor? Remember when he was the governor of California? Yes, but that's the church goal. Notice here, building up of itself in love. We are to grow up. We are to speak the truth in love. And the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. The verse that we read when we began together this morning. So with that said, You're sitting here saying, well, Jerry, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. In fact, I don't even know what spiritual gifts are. Well, we can help you with that. And Pastor Adam will be available after church in the back. And if you just come up and say, hey, I want to know what my spiritual gift is, then we will get you a spiritual gift inventory. and you can take it. And the great thing about it, it's a test that everybody passes. It's not a pass or fail. It will just show you who you are and the gifts that God has given you. And then if you want to take the next step after that, you can put those gifts in play. You can talk to Pastor Adam or Pastor Phil, or now probably Pastor Steve would be the person you talk to. And we can help you to fulfill those spiritual gifts that God has given you. You know, it's great to have spiritual gifts, but we need to use them. Amen, church? We need to use the gifts that God has given us. And so next week, we will continue verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. So let's close in prayer, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper together. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather together. And Lord, now as we turn our hearts and minds toward the Lord's Supper this morning, we ask your blessings as we partake, and we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.